All right, the rumors will not go away. The Athletic has been reporting that the Minnesota Vikings are mulling whether to bring in Aaron Rodgers, and yet there have been other reports, including Adam Schefter, that the odds are not high of the Vikings signing Aaron Rodgers. It's hard to figure out what's going on because the Vikings have not come out and said that they're not doing it and that it's J.J. McCarthy's team. So we all continue to stay in a holding pattern. And while we're there, a man who covered Aaron Rodgers last year, Turn on the Jets podcast, Will Parkinson, joins us now to discuss Aaron Rodgers last season, the fit potentially with the Vikings. If you can hear it in my voice, I don't love it. But Will, how does it strike you when you hear the Vikings and Aaron Rodgers?
It makes me feel like Aaron clearly wants the Vikings, if you believe both the reporting, but also if you try to read the tea leaves of, like, the Giants have been out there for, look, Rodgers got, we knew Rodgers getting cut over a month ago, and he could start talking to teams. And a lot of these teams knew where they were at, right? I think Pittsburgh went through their due diligence with Fields and wouldn't guarantee him the second year or any part of the second year. So he obviously moves on to the Jets, which I know this sounds biased, but like the Jets are a better situation for Justin Fields than Pittsburgh was. They turn to Ross. They clearly want Aaron, right? This has been, or there's at least a significant mutual interest between the two sides. The Giants have been out there for over a month, and the Vikings weren't really talked about much, I don't think. I think there was a little bit of like the joking, hey, are we doing this all over again? And I was like, cool, let's do this all over again, because the last time the Jets were good and I got to like witness playoff games was when the last time this happened. And the Vikings obviously made it to a title game, and like everyone knows the deal. So yeah, it did kind of work out for both sides. This is where I don't get particularly what's like Rodgers wanting the Vikings makes sense. They have the best weapons. They have the best offensive head coach. He's playing inside for 10 plus games a year at a minimum. All these things add up. Although Rodgers has talked a million times about how he hates playing on turf, but whatever. Like there is a lot of the reasoning makes sense for Rodgers' sake. And I guess if you're the Vikings and you think to yourself, I just don't get, like, you could have brought Sam back and run him back this year, and then, like, if Sam sucks, you pull the cord and JJ, and, like, he reverts back to a pumpkin, you go to JJ. It just makes me think they don't love JJ quite as much, or there's something off there that, why would you even entertain it if you love JJ? Because he had the year off, right? He had the year, I know he didn't get the practice and the whole thing, but it was a kind of a dream scenario. The Vikings developed themselves into a contender. They spent a ton of money this offseason on some good players, some players maybe I wouldn't have spent money on, but it doesn't matter. Like, they should be a really good team next year. Detroit should be worse. Green Bay, we're not sure. Chicago's better on paper, but what are they? Like, well, you could pick the Vikings to win the division and with JJ and not even know who he really is. So, again, I get Aaron's point of view. I just, from the Vikings' perspective, I'm not sure what the, like, it's the opposite, I guess, of the Daniel Jones thing, which is like, we're so arrogant that we can make Daniel Jones good because we did it with Darnold, which I don't know, I wouldn't have done either, but I just feel like, if you like JJ, you play him. And if you like, damn, we messed up. The knee's not right. Something's off. We missed value. Then, like, you could have gone after a lot of other guys. We're just kept saying, I don't know. I'm very confused what the thinking is from the Vikings' perspective.
Well, that's what I've been trying to work myself through over the last couple of days, is what would be the reasoning on their side if it's not that JJ McCarthy's recovery is problematic in any way, which Kevin O'Connell did tell us at the combine that he is in line to start the offseason program and everything. So he didn't give any indication. There was no like, hey guys, you need to be a little bit cautious with JJ still recovering. Like, and I think he would have done that if there were some problems there, but maybe there are. If it's not that, I think it's two things. Number one, Kevin O'Connell is terrified of ruining his young quarterback. He's talked about this a number of times, even last year. Like, hey, let's not start a quarterback controversy with Darnold and McCarthy because we're developing him on my timeline and how I think he's going to be ready and so forth. Coaches are also very cautious about this. I wrote today about how the 49ers tried to get Brady out of retirement instead of Purdy, and then Purdy took them to the Super Bowl. How about Nathan Peterman starting over Josh Allen in week one of 2018? Like, we see this all the time. Your guy Tyrod Taylor starting over Justin Herbert. Herbert comes in, throws 30 touchdowns in his first year. It happens a lot where these coaches, they want to play it safe if they can. And the other thing, too, I think it's just about Aaron and the fact that he is an NFL icon. He's one of the best of all time. But you can tell me better, because you watched every game. Yep. Sorry. What is there? What is still there? Because on paper, it hasn't looked good since 2021.
Yeah. Look, the numbers at the end of the year look fine, right? A lot of them. Some of them don't look good. But, you know, we can – the touchdown, interceptions, yardage – yeah, it's fine. Like, he's still a good player. No one's I'm not sitting here telling you he's not a good player. When he's healthy, which was at the beginning and the end of the year, he was awesome, like, in a lot of ways. Caveat. His numbers were awesome. The Jets beat one team that was not terrible last year. They were in a million games, and they blew it at the end of pretty much every game. They led NFL history for most, you know, chokes, if you want to call it that. You know, six leads entering the fourth quarter and lost six of the eight games. Insane. Rodgers had five or six fourth quarter comebacks, ball in his hand to try to go win the game, either down by a score or tied. It happened like once or twice. They were successful. My issue with Aaron is more so I thought his Achilles got much stronger as the year went on. He looked more mobile at the end of the year when the calf post bye, when the calf was healthy, the knee was healthy. I mean, he played through a torn calf this year. He played through a sprained MCL, I think, or something like that. Like, he was legitimately hurt, and he's a super tough dude. And, like, for all you want to say about Aaron, like, he always has been like that. He's always played through injury, and he, like, won't miss time. And he did come back from the Achilles faster than anyone in the whole thing. But it's a calf injury now, 3 years in a row, to some extent. He had the thumb. He had the ribs. He's taken a lot of abuse over the years. He's a 20-year career. He's one of the three or four best players I've ever seen play football at the quarterback position in the NFL. He's probably two for me. Like, he's that – like, I think of him that highly. And when it's on, he's still got it. Like, the Patriots game this year, week three, I don't know, 300 yards, three touchdowns, like 70% – like, it's still there. We saw at the end of the year – again, I keep emphasizing this. It is still in there. Like, you will see – if he's the Vikings quarterback in 2025 – 5 to 7 really good games, like MVP level-ish Rodgers, three touchdowns, no picks, the whole thing. You'll get 6-ish games that are, like, fine. Like, the numbers aren't terrible, but missed a lot of gimmies, and you're just like, eh, like, it's not great, but, like, you figured it out. And then there'll be 5 or 6 where he looks terrible. I think people didn't watch the Bills game in week 17 this past year, where it's the worst game of his career, bar none. He was benched. The whole, you know, a lot of the guys were benched, but Rodgers was benched. Threw two picks. He missed like three open touchdowns. He took a safety essentially. He got a personal foul penalty. Like, it was terrible. And it comes back week 18. Miami has nothing to play for. Tyreek Hill quits in the first quarter, and the Jets, you know, throws four touchdowns, and like, it was fun, right? It's like a fun, like, I thought that was it for him, and I thought that was a nice way to go out. Got 500, the whole thing. The arm strength is still 95% there. Like, he's still got – he can still rip it, and he still has some tight window throws and can still throw it. The deep ball accuracy is not great. He just gets rushed a little bit now. I just don't think he trusts his legs as much as he used to. People forget – Vikings fans won't forget this, but, like, Rodgers was, like, Mahomes before Mahomes, where it's extending plays and the creativity and, like, the trust with receivers. I'm sure Justin Jefferson will put up 2,000 yards next year and have 199 targets. Everybody else won't really eat, because it's like Aaron kind of just like goes to his guys now. And like, that happened with Devontae, and they don't have to deal with that. But the mobility is not the same. It is in spurts. Again, they'll have moments, but it's not a full 4 quarters of MVP level Rodgers. And if any level of your team is not, you know, 100% locked in that game, it's just really, he doesn't overcome an issue or two in Green Bay. For all those years, it was like the defense isn't great, but Aaron's going to put up 28 to 30 a game. This is more like 14, 21, 26 some weeks. They just put up 30 points like one time this year, and they lost. And I don't know. Like, Garrett Wilson and Davante Adams is just as good, if no offense, better than Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison. Like, I might pick the Jets duo just on paper. Breece Hall's better than Aaron Jones. You know what I mean? Like, if you want to start, the Jets offensive line was good. Like, there's no reason it shouldn't have worked. My biggest concern for the Vikings, and this is a thing that I'm sure you've thought about a million times, Aaron changes the play a lot at the line of scrimmage. He wants the perfect look, especially as he's gotten later in his career. He doesn't move quite as well. He wants to make sure protection is like 1,000% spot on, and like he knows exactly where he's going to go with the ball pre-snap. And again, I'm not saying it's a bad thing always, But Kevin O'Connell's kind of like, this is my show. I'm one of the best coaches in the league because of what I do, especially on the offensive side of the ball, playing, calling plays. Is Aaron going to come in and learn an offense that's very similar to the offense he ran in Green Bay, that he had a huge issue with motion and these different person? Like, he went to the Jets to run the Aaron Rodgers 2010 scheme, and it didn't work. So I guess, you know, my point is just like, how does him and O'Connell mesh, one thing? And then two, I know he'll be fine mentoring JJ, but he has no equity in it. Like, he mentored Jordan Love because he wasn't going anywhere, and it was like going to be a year-over-year relationship. This is like, he might be around JJ McCarthy for six months, and like, he's, I don't know. I just, this doesn't really add up to me, other than on the field, Rodgers is a better product as of March 17th than we know what JJ McCarthy is.
Just to go with some of the things you said about stylistically, I think the NFL has changed a ton while Rodgers has been here. We used to see Brady and Manning. They would go up to the line of scrimmage. They would ID the defense, and they would call out Omaha or something, and then they'd change the route. But offenses are working a little bit differently these days, where there is a lot more motion and there are a lot more changes. And also, defenses are not showing their cards like they used to. I mean, I could sit at home and watch a game from 2010 and say, oh, it's zone. Oh, it's man. Oh, that's where they're sending the blitz. They weren't hiding as much as they are now. And you see this from Brian Flores all the time. And Rodgers was mostly a disaster against Flores' defense. Well, where is this trending in the NFL? More toward Flores or more toward 2010? Of course, it's more toward where Flores is really showing a lot of different things at the line of scrimmage and then changing once the snap is taken. And that's what KOC's system is designed to actually battle against. It's more of, like, I think they call them progression reads or whatever you want to call it, but it's more of looking to spaces as opposed to trying to read the defense. That is very different from what Aaron Rodgers has done for his career. And looking at the numbers from last season, it's exactly how you described it. It's a handful of games that are really spectacular, and then a handful of games that there's total no-shows. And if you're the Vikings, this is my thing about bringing in Rodgers. If you bring him in, you have to be playing Super Bowl Sunday, or it's a disaster because you didn't find out anything about JJ McCarthy and you just let him sit on the bench. And then you also brought the circus to town and everything else. If it's anything short of pure greatness and excellence, and if he had nobody at receiver, no offense to Robbie Anderson, but he was like the best receiver Sam Darnold ever had. And that's not the same as this. These were good receivers. It was supposed to be. That's what we forget, because everyone can go, oh, well, it's the Jets. The Jets were talked about as the team that somebody wanted to be on. Oh, they're a quarterback away. And then now all of a sudden we're going, well, it must have been their fault. I don't think that the Vikings offensively offer something that's crazy different than what he already had. That's why I just can't really make this fit, man.
Yeah, look, I think when Nate Hackett was the OC, sure, like, that's a drastic difference. I'm not telling you that Hackett, who's the worst offensive coordinator in the league, was not a difference. The Jets struggled in the red zone. And again, I keep coming back to, like, the fit in Pittsburgh makes so much sense to me, right? Like, he gets to play the Jets next year. He can do that. He gets to play Green Bay next year, the AFC North. While, like, we talk about it, like, it's the, you know, the hardest conference ever, the hardest division ever. Like, Cincinnati's the worst defense I've ever seen. Cleveland stinks. The Ravens choke every January. So, like, you kind of go, oh, Mike Tomlin's a good coach, but he's not on the offensive side of the ball. So, like, he's not dealing with it. Arthur Smith's a good offensive coordinator at points, I guess. But, like, you could, Rodgers has more validity. So he could, you know, maybe change some things he wants to do. The Steelers offensive line, again, not great, but, like, Pickens and DK, like, can he just hit them on crossers and go balls the whole season? And, like, the defense is good. Again, like, on grass field, in the cold, it kind of just fits the Rodgers mantra a little bit. Where I'm struggling is the Giants make no sense, other than if you want to just make the most money. And, like, yeah, the Giants on paper have gotten better, but Philly, division, Washington, even the Cowboys, like, the Giants are just clearly the fourth team, at least at the moment. Unless, you know, whatever. If you've got Travis Hunter and Malik Nabers out there, like, cool, who's blocking? The Vikings, again, on paper, makes sense, right? Like, for him. I just feel like, I don't know. I just really just don't even know if the culture fit makes sense. Like, Rodgers has never really been spiteful towards like the organization. He's been spiteful towards like Gutekunst and like those guys, like the upper management of Green Bay, but like never any bad blood with like, they just did a documentary and like the Packers were extremely involved. Like LaFleur's talking in the documentary on Netflix. So it's not like Favre had like a lot of other things, and the Vikings again made sense, and Brett Favre kind of turned back the clock after the torn bicep. So you can start to make those comparisons. And if he doesn't throw the interception against New Orleans, like, hey, are they playing the Jets in the title game and in the Super Bowl? And like, we're having this crazy conversation. I just go back to like, what's the best case that happens for them this year? Rodgers is what we thought he was going to be this year. So he's a top eight quarterback. The Vikings are one of the top five seeds, right? They're either the one seed or they're, you know, whatever. We just went through this with Sam. And if you don't make it to at least the title game, it's probably a failure. And then now JJ's in year three. He's never played like at all. And you're kind of doing you're hoping you have the Jordan Love year three breakout or year four, but Jordan Love kind of sucked the first like 8 weeks. And then the Packers dug themselves out and like it went well, but they lost in the divisional round. And then this past year, like they got smoked in the wild card. You know what I mean? So I don't know if JJ is going to be the guy. I really don't. I didn't love him coming out, but he showed some stuff in the preseason last year. You know, you hope a year under O'Connell. Sam's obviously a great dude. Like, I'm sure he answered a ton of questions for him. And I think the Vikings ceilings may be higher with Rodgers for a year. But I don't know. You've invested a lot in JJ. They traded up for him. You know, you let Sam walk out of the building. Even as much as I don't love Daniel Jones, you let Daniel Jones, who you brought in. You could have brought Daniel Jones back. You didn't. So either it's all smoke with Rodgers and he just wants more money from Pittsburgh and the Giants. Or I feel like, and I think you feel the same way, that he's really hoping Minnesota says, F it. Let's do this thing for a year. But Aaron's also said, like, I want to play 2 to 3 years. So it's like, what is it? You know, that there's just too many variables to me in this. The Vikings culture last year, I felt like, was so strong. It helped them. Aaron's not a culture. He's not a bad guy. And he's not a bad, like, teammate. It's that if Aaron's going to come in and be tail between his legs, I'm going to run Kevin O'Connell's offense. And I'm okay if it's bad in week six and I get benched, like I'm gonna take my medicine. That's a different conversation. If we're talking Rodgers is a certified 17-game starter, no matter what, I'm running my offense, I'm changing out of Kevin O'Connell's plays, I don't know if I'm necessarily on board with that one.